Welcome to a special episode of the Ask a Cycling Coach podcast. It's Coach Jonathan Lee here, and I'm here with a special guest. We're in a casino in South Lake Tahoe after the Amgen Tour of California's stage five, six? I'm not even sure what it is.
That was five.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah. And I'm here with Phil Guymon. So that was the voice of Phil Guymon. Phil, can you introduce yourself for those that don't know?
I'm Phil Guymon. I'm a pro cyclist for Cannondale.
And Phil also has a podcast. And the name of the podcast, Phil?
It's Real Talent with Phil Guymon on thepelotonbrief.com.
And it's honest conversations with athletes, and it's a refreshing change. I give it a listen. So it's pretty cool. You've also written a book, which you love, and or which I love, and which told me that you liked. Yeah, I'm sure you do. And it also let me know that you like cookies, so we brought you a lot of cookies.
You did well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank my wife did well, I'll be honest.
You did well marrying her.
Certainly, yeah, no doubt. So we're going to talk to you firstly about elevation training, because that's kind of like the theme that the commentators are playing up today, the fact that it hit the highest point of the race.
Yep.
And we try to help make people faster. So basically what we want to talk about is how elevation affects your preparation or training beforehand, how it affects the execution on race day, and then your recovery.
Sure.
So first off, you live down in LA, correct?
Yeah, I live in LA. For this race, I went and went to Big Bear for 2 weeks. That's kind of been like my basic altitude preparation is just 2 weeks somewhere above 6,500 feet. And for this one, for high altitude races like Utah, Colorado, I would train high. For this race, since the vast majority of the racing is low, I would drive down and train low every day. You get better power that way.
And then you would recover high? Is that what you were doing?
Sleep high, train low. That's sort of the rule. And since this was the only stage that was really high altitude, I don't think anyone prepared super specifically for it. Most guys did nothing. And we had a few guys who kind of just, like with our team, if you're taking a rest week, you try and take it at altitude. So you're boosting your recovery time and all that stuff.
And what is the intent of recovering at altitude from that perspective? What are you trying to achieve with that?
Basically, like while your muscles recover, your blood gets stronger when you're up there. Your hematocrit goes up. Kind of all your, I don't know how it works, it's just your body responds, at least some people more than others, but the body responds well to that kind of thing, and it makes you, it kind of just raises your base endurance level for a couple months. Same effect as EPO, just without the horrible side effects and the death and the crime.
That's good to avoid that. And then you guys also train low in certain circumstances. Is that just because you have a greater work capacity when you're down low? In other words, like you can, since there is more readily available oxygen, you can actually work harder, or what's the motive behind that?
Yeah, if you have a power meter, it's pretty obvious. Like you go to a 20-minute effort at 7,000 feet and it's garbage compared to what you do at sea level. So like the effort that I did on Gibraltar a couple days ago would not have worked if I was training high up because my legs don't push that power.
Right. And that effort, what I saw your numbers, they were high. I saw four. It started with four, so it was high. What was your average up Gibraltar? Or do you have any breakdowns that you remember from that?
That was a good effort, yeah. They kind of just had me burn the bottom, I think, two-thirds, I would say. They just put me on the front to slim out the group and put pressure on everyone. So I ended up doing, it was 20 minutes. It was the first 5 minutes were the hardest. That was like 490-something, and then I kind of went down slowly, but it ended up being 20 minutes at like 429.
Wow.
Yeah, it was ugly.
That's big. Yeah. Now today, you guys started out at more or less sea level. Lodi is low.
Yeah.
And then you worked your way up over an embarrassingly long climb, going all the way up to 8 or almost 9,000 feet. When you were climbing up there, or how does the elevation, I guess, better said, how does the elevation affect your race strategy? When you're going up high on a day like this, does it affect the race strategy?
Not really. I think everyone just, A, everyone feels a little crappier, and B, everyone knows, like, you just, the other thing at altitude is it takes longer to recover from an effort. So if you do sprint, if you do put in, like, a real high intense effort, it's going to just take you an extra few minutes to kind of get your legs back. So everyone just keeps a little more in their pants. And today it was just everyone just rode super steady, just trying to get through it.
Yeah. I mean, 2 days in a row of like 130 plus miles, I think it was.
Yeah, the day before wasn't easy either. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been hitting us.
And you guys hit it hard yesterday. That was a pretty tough day. So, how about recovery? How does the elevation, because I was interested to see if you guys would drive down to Folsom and get down to low elevation tonight, but your team is staying up high.
I think ideally we would have driven down, but the race put us up here. And there's the UCI rule that every team has to stay in the same place.
I didn't know that.
Otherwise, like back 3-4 years ago, like our team would have been sneaky and driven down and bought a hotel somewhere. But these days you get in trouble for that. So
interesting, yeah, because it would have been better to be recovering with down low.
Huge advantage. You sleep better, and yeah, you get all that like oxygen. Obviously, helps you recover. So
yeah.
We missed that up here.
No doubt. Any parting thoughts on today's stage? I know that it was a long stage and one that you guys let a breakaway go, but it was a unique stage, I would say, for this event since it came just completely across the Sierras. That was pretty unique. What is this type of race, or what is this type of stage when it's inserted in the middle of a stage race like this? What does it do for your team strategy or anything else? Because you guys do have GC hopefuls, right?
Sure, yeah, we have Lawson for GC. It was kind of just a day where we knew we could protect Lawson, and no one knew quite how hard the finish was going to be. So we were hoping he might squeak a few seconds out there if he still felt fresh. So we just kind of kept him fresh, and we put Tom's in the break, and that worked out real well. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to move on to some Twitter questions. All right, Phil. So question number one is from Nick Adams. He says, are there any fun days in the big races like this? It looks so hard. Do you ever get to have any fun?
Yeah, there's fun. Well, first of all, we love hurting ourselves. We're all broken human beings that way. So that part is still fun. Like, I had fun on Gibraltar. And then, yeah, like, in the pack, not today. Everybody was quiet as hell today. But generally, you get to chat a little bit and say hi to everybody. No, it's, you know, we just have breakfast with the guys. It's good times, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Vic asks, or he just says, this guy has a great podcast as well and is well worth a listen, which we already covered, so... Yeah, of course. Chris, he says, why not just ride 2 to 3 hard, high-intensity interval training sessions a week and forget the longer, easy kilometers? That's what he says. What would you say to that?
I mean, if you don't have much time to train, then the days that you have, you better hit it. So, yeah, assuming that, like for me, I have 30-hour week races, so it doesn't work for me. But I think for the average dude, if you're training 8 hours a week, like, go hard.
Yeah, makes sense. Volume and intensity, there's a trade-off there. Next one that we have is from Kev. He says, what off-the-bike training do the pros do, and how often? Do you weights, core, etc.? That's his question.
Do weights in the off-season for sure, 4 or 5. No, actually more like 8-10 weeks of that, like October, November, December.
When you say weights, are you're not hitting bench press. What are you doing?
No, leg press, like all legs and core, stuff like that.
Didn't mean to insult your pecs, by the way.
No,
I apologize. Listen,
I'm fully aware that I don't have any arms. yeah, and then during the season, just, you know, on a rest day, you do some core, do some yoga, try and keep it up.
Cool. Awesome. And let's, Kyle's question, he says, how do the riders recover from stage racing besides eating questionable meat, is what he said. So how do you guys recover from these stage races?
It's definitely a lot of food. Yeah, you know, you get back, you go to bed early, you get massage after the stage, a lot of recovery shakes. I mean, I wish there was a secret or something interesting, but it's just the basic shit.
Yeah. Feet up, relax.
Yeah, stay off your feet.
Yeah.
Naps.
Nice. And Nick's question, do you think there will be a one-on-one battle like the 86 Tour, or is it team tactics from now on? In other words, I think he's talking in general for just team races. Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't mean for me. I think these days, like, a team, the level of competition is so high that a team has to be super focused on one goal. Like, if you're going to the Tour to win the overall, like, you're not going for sprint stages, you're not going for anything else. So, exception being teams that have way too much money, like we saw with Froome and Wiggins, kind of had a thing like that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, who are they going to pick? They can go either way. So, well, cool. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. You've got a massage to get back to,
no problem.
So I'll let you get to it, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.